Summer is definitely the sexiest season. I mean, think about it. The days are longer, the nights are hotter, and your sex life is too. And if you're looking to turn up the heat, how about a little help from our friends at Promescent? Summer is all about things hot and steamy, so I highly recommend you add something extra and tap into Promescent's lineup of pleasure-enhancing products. I've been singing their praises for years, since they started, and for good reason. Because first up, we have the legendary Delay Spray. This is the MVP of lasting longer and keeping those eager penile nerves in check. You just do a quick spray, and you're set to outlast even the longest days of summer, ensuring the party doesn't end before you want it to. So you can have the mind-blowing climax you're now so very well equipped to reach, thanks to Promescent. It just helps you last longer without all the worry. And for women, Promescent's warming arousal gel is a fun pre-sex ritual. You just rub it into your vulva a few minutes before and you'll feel it start to tingle, warming up every nerve ending. So you'll feel that much more pleasure everywhere before you even get going. So it's kind of like the sure thing. So make sure this summer is the sexiest one yet. Check out promescent.com/Emily and get 15% off at checkout. You get free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee, discreet shipping, all the things. Promescent is your ticket to a more guaranteed good time. That's promescent.com/Emily. promescent.com/Emily for your exclusive discount. Check it out. Attention, pleasure seekers. What if I told you there was a toy that was so iconic that it practically set the standard for all my favorite products? Allow me to introduce or reintroduce to you the Magic Wand. Dubbed the Cadillac of Vibrators, the Magic Wand is more than just a toy. It's a culture icon, a symbol of power and unapologetic pleasure. Do you know any other toys that have been praised in Time magazine? Didn't think so. With a unique rumble that resonates deep within, the Magic Wand Original is not just a product, it's a trusted confidant. And it's a sure thing. Never had an orgasm? Try a Magic Wand. Never given your party a full body massage? Try the Magic Wand. Listen, it's rightfully earned accolades like Vibrator of the Year for decades, and I've been obsessed with my Magic Wand. I even drilled holes in my bedside table so that she's always next to me in case I need her. Well, that was years ago, because now there are multiple iterations of the Magic Wand, allowing you to pick whatever model fits your lifestyle. You can go wireless with the Magic Wand Rechargeable, tiny with the Magic Wand Mini or Micro. Micro is really mini. Or go for variety with the Magic Wand Plush. The best part though, all of them have the same powerful orgasmic rumble that made the original so popular. So if you're ready to make some magic, visit sexwithemily.com/magicwand and discover why the Magic Wand continues to cast a spell on the world. Magic Wand, not just a vibrator, an icon of pleasure.
Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. On today's show, I'm talking about how to make the most out of your vibrator, why you may be experiencing the post-sex blues, how long is too long to keep a butt plug in, and getting your partner on board with your fantasies. All this and more. Thanks for listening.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's gotta have her standards. Oh, my.
Do women know about shrinkage?
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, it feels so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, go to sexwithemily.com. Check out our blogs, our videos. You can easily subscribe to the podcast and take our new sex survey all month long. We want to know a little bit more about your sex lives. You can be completely anonymous, of course, and it's the name of science. We want to know what kind of sex you're having, more about you and your relationships. And also, we have a few questions there about the show. What you'd like to hear, how you like to listen to it, and it'll just help us improve the show so we can continue to bring you all the information you need to have better sex and relationships. And also, you can find me at Sex with Emily across the board on all social media. Okay, here's some sex in the news. What causes post-coital dysphoria? The reasons why you might be sad after sex. So we all know sex is meant to be fun and joyful, but for some people, the whole process of sex can be a lot more conflicting. And I think we hear a lot about the afterglow, the post-sex glow that we can feel. There's another post-sex phenomena that's a lot darker and more difficult, and that's post-coital dysphoria or the post-sex blues. that can affect you directly after sex or up to 2 hours afterwards. So just know then if you've been feeling sad after sex or during sex, it's important to know that you're not alone. And just to kind of let it flow, give your body space and time to release what it needs to release. And the reason why this study is so interesting and why they keep picking this up in a bunch of different news outlets is because for a long time, this has been thought to predominantly impact only women. But in this new study, they found out that 46% of women have experienced it in the last, you know, at least once, while 5% experience it multiple times a month. But the new study shows that actually men have experienced it almost just as frequently as women. So if so many people are experiencing it, you know, what causes it? What do we do about it? Because I know, you guys, I'm going to admit, I've had an orgasm and I've cried. I've even had sex and cried without orgasm. I've been connected to a partner and feeling really great love, but I've also felt a sadness or just because you guys think about it, it's kind of like when you do drugs or you drink, it's like you have this shift in your body or a shift in in your state of consciousness, and sex can do that when you're really present and vulnerable. The flip side of that can be when it's over, you start to feel vulnerable or sad. So that's totally normal. And here's some of the reasons why it happens and what to do about it. And guys, I want you to know, for the men out there, we see you, we hear you, let it go. If you're feeling sad and teary, you're vulnerable, we embrace you. All of us. We're all in this together, you guys. So there's not one cause for PCD. It could be a hormonal shift. I think a lot of this does have to do with hormones. We have a high level of dopamine than average, and the body releases the hormone prolactin after sex. And then it causes a sudden drop in dopamine that could be linked to PCD and also orgasm. There's also a spike and a drop that happens. And it could also be, you guys, if we didn't grow up in a very sex positive environment, or if there was trauma and shame around sex. Believe it or not, you might think you've left that all behind, but if you're still hanging on to that, if sex, you know, afterwards you feel kind of dirty or you feel like slutty or you did something wrong, that's also going to impact your sex life. You know, when we're having sex with a partner, we feel vulnerable and we feel free and we feel really good in the moment. And then right after, we have something that I like to call a shame over, where we might feel, oh God, that felt too good, or did it get too close, or was that wrong to have sex? It's just coming from these old beliefs and old thoughts. And so we might want to shut it down or pretend it didn't happen. But I think, like every thought, you know, it's so easy to numb things and shut it down. It's much better just to feel it. And hopefully you're choosing partners and having sex with people that you feel really comfortable to totally be yourself. And also, again, going back to childhood or going back to traumatic events, if you've had a sexual trauma, or you've had something that's happened to you, sex can just be triggering. It can be triggered to a sexual act that's maybe outside your comfort zone. Maybe you're going too fast or doing too much than what you can actually handle, which might be a great way for you to kind of slow down and look at it and go, oh, was there something in this sexual encounter that didn't feel great to me? And it can also be exacerbated if you're drinking or doing drugs. You know, we drop our inhibitions, and then when it's over, we're like, oh God, did I cross a boundary? Did I let them cross my boundary? But even if you're sober, you know, if you've been abused or you've been assaulted, it can be triggering. You just want to make sure that you are getting help, seeking out therapists, especially if you've had sexual trauma. I can't emphasize this enough. I know I talk about it a lot on the show, but if you have had any kind of trauma around sex, abuse, therapy is your friend. You need to get into therapy and to work it out. There's therapists that specialize in it. I love EMDR therapy for trauma. That's just my side note here. You know, communication overall, you guys, always does matter. We think of sex, we think of foreplay, we think of actual sex, but there is aftercare after sex. Like, how do you really care for yourself and your partner after sex? So I think that's just, you know, being in a relationship where you can, you know, communicate with someone and let them know that, you know, I'm just feeling sad, or just hold me, or here. Emily said that this is normal. Whatever you want to say to it, let yourself feel those feelings. Because if we repeatedly are holding back an emotion or a feeling, you guys, whatever you resist persists. So we want to be in healthy, safe relationships and surrounded, be in a community of people that we can actually be. We can be honest about our emotions and our feelings. So here's the bottom line on your post-coital blues. It can be situational. It can be related to the quality of that particular sex act. It could be because you feel empty and you feel unsatisfied, or you could be having amazing sex with an incredible partner and still feel this way. So I just want you all to know that, like, everything passes, and to pay attention to that feeling and try to work out where it comes from, so you can kind of think of, was this something that something happened? Did this remind me of a past thing? Or maybe just in the moment you're feeling like, you know, your hormones have shifted and you just kind of ride it out. Let your partner know what you need, a hug, or maybe you want to take a nap or fall asleep, get something to eat. Just communicate after sex, because it's just important as how you start it is how you finish it. All right, guys, women are more sexually adventurous when trying for a baby. I found this interesting because, hey, I know a lot of us trying for babies. It happens at different points in your life or different. Maybe you've already had a baby or your friends are trying for a baby, or maybe you're in this particular situation. So the study found that women are more sexually adventurous when trying for a baby. Half do it more often and a fifth change positions more frequently with the hope of conceiving quicker. They change their behavior, both in and out of bed, because they're worried about fertility. But here's what I found interesting, and this is such a known fact. Do you guys ever have those friends who are like, well, we kept trying to have a baby and I was doing all the things and getting acupuncture and taking vitamins, and the doctor said it wasn't going to happen. And the second we stopped worrying about it, we got pregnant. So, and this study found the same thing. The biggest obstacle to conceiving is fretting about trying to get pregnant. So when you're fretting and worrying more, not that you don't have to make, it's important to take a multivitamin, see your doctor, get everything checked out. But if you're like really worried about conceiving, it just seems like sometimes you just got to let go. The study also found that, if you're having regular sex and you're still enjoying it, you got to make sure that it's not a chore, because a lot of times it is the woman's responsibility. I feel like she's the one who's getting checked and going to acupuncture and taking the vitamins and doing all these things of trying to keep sex interesting, and not so much about their partners. It says like only a third of their partners are making lifestyle changes. So I just want to say that the guy's got to get checked too, get their sperm checked, and see how healthy their sperm is. I think a lot of times women are kind of taking the blame for why they can't get pregnant. And hey, guys, if there's ever been like a time for you to be on board with your partner and for you both to have both feet in, that's when you're trying to conceive. And fertility can be so all consuming for women that, you know, they are willing to try anything and everything to get pregnant. But the piece of advice we have to say is relax, stay positive, and enjoy all of the sex, and make sure that you're both on board and helping each other so you can have a baby and it all works out. Some other things in this study, you guys, it showed 2/3 of women worried about fertility before they even started trying for a baby. So the more you can mitigate all this worry around fertility and just make sure that you are the healthiest as you can be, that you get checked out by your doctor, and that your partner's on board with you, the better. It also is that age, weight, work pressures, and friends' experiences were among the major causes of concern. You guys, we are all different. Your friend might get pregnant really easily. Another friend might have needed done in vitro. Like, it's all different. So each two people together are going to be bringing their, you know, their own sperm and their own eggs to the table. It makes a unique situation. So you really just want to keep the focus within your relationship. And if you're trying to get pregnant right now, remember, this is the best time for you guys to employ all the great sex tips that I give you on the show. Like, how can you make this sex interesting? It's not so much you have to change all your positions and do all these crazy things. It's more about like, how can you guys really connect by opening up and exploring your sex life? Because remember, after you have baby, it's going to take a while till you're all having sex again. So really, I think you got to stop the anxiety and do all the smart things like see a doctor, but really make sure your partner is on board. And just relax, stay positive, and enjoy all that sex. And finally, how to make better use of your vibrators. I liked this study because I thought, I talk a lot about sex toys and I feel like I'm always giving you guys tips, but I thought maybe you were sitting on a toy. Maybe you even bought a toy and you're like, I didn't like it, or I tried it once, or I lost a charger, or I forgot about it. Because this happens to a lot of people I know. They're like, oh yeah, you gave me that womanizer, for example. I have a friend and she's like, oh, I know you call it the clit whisperer and I know you love it, but I didn't really get it. I'm like, well, you can change out the tips. Like, the womanizer comes with little tips. You can put them over your clitoris in different ways. And I think I'm the same way. I don't want to read instructions. I don't want to read the directions. I just want something to work. And I can get frustrated. But I'm telling you guys, if you invested in a toy and you bought a vibrator and you really want to figure out how to use it, here's some ways to make it work for you. Just a reminder, the reason why we use vibrators are because they're fun. They mix up your sex life. We can feel different sensations that are not better or superior or inferior to any other kind of touch or orgasm. It's just that women and men, we just kind of like variety. We want to feel some vibration sometimes. And a lot of women just really need the consistent stimulation of their clitoris to have the same experience as men do. Because men can have more, think about it, when you're having like PV sex or you're inserting your penis into something, you're having constant stimulation. Well, the clitoris hanging out there doesn't always have the stimulation it needs. So vibrators can help with that. But whether you're solo or with a partner, you know, I'm a huge fan of vibes. So here are some tips. Pick the right one. If you've never had a vibrator, I often suggest starting with something like a little clitoral vibrator or a bullet vibe. But if you've been like, you know what? No, I'm fine with my clitoris. I actually want to look for my G-spot, or I want to get some more stimulation around my anus. I'd love to try a butt plug. Think about where you might like to start. I mean, there are so many different vibrators out there to choose from. And I'm telling you, even the last 13 years that I've been doing a show, I feel like vibrators have become so much more body safe, mainstream, really cool, like bells and whistles and vibes and things you can do with them, that it really is the time. If you've never tried a vibrator, the design, the manufacturing, and all the amazing things you can do, it's the right time. Make sure that you love it. So if you've got an old vibrator and you don't love it, like, go out and buy one. Like, do some research. We've got a lot of information on our site. And think about it. Like, when you buy like a bunch of things you don't like, but you have like that one shirt that you love, or you treat yourself to a necklace and you want to wear it all the time, or we just feel good when we buy things that make us feel good. And this is something that you're putting in your body. So just make sure that you love your new toy, or at least really, really like it and you're excited about it. The second thing is, you guys, make sure that you give yourself time to explore. So like I said, there's people who get them and they're like, I tried it once or it didn't work. Give it another try. It takes a while to adapt to a new anything, like getting to work your new cell phone or your new car, or new technology. A vibrator is the same way. And the best part about it is that like there's so many different ways to use them, like so many different ways in your body. Like, I can tell you this is for clitoral stimulation, but you might find out, you know what? It's not so much my clitoris. It's like my pubic mound, that area above the clitoris. Or it could be my labia where it feels good. Or I just want to use this one on my anus. So this is the work that you have to do. You know, when you're masturbating, kind of use it all different parts of your body and explore with the vibrator. Don't just limit it to the prescribed way that I'm saying you could use a toy. A lot of them, we call them massagers for a reason. They can feel great. Play with the settings, play with the different functions, and get comfortable with your vibrator. Use it with a partner, you guys. I know that there was this notion when vibrators came out, it was like for women who couldn't get a partner, and they're like, well, I'm just home until a penis comes along or until something better comes along. Well, that's not the case. I think we all know that the idea of vibrators replacing a partner or in lieu of a partner is just kind of ridiculous. I think you guys all know that it can really add a lot to your sex life, and that is starting to change. So I hope that we've let go of all of our judgments around toys and you feel comfortable using it with a partner. Because studies have shown that the women who own a vibrator, like up to 75% of 80% of those women actually used it with a partner. And that study is a few years old now. So I think that every year we're getting more bold, more comfortable to kind of share the experience with our partner. We always want to use lube with a toy. Water-based lube, you guys, you just want to put it directly on you. It really helps just a few drops. You don't need a ton of lube. A few drops on your clitoris, pre-game with some lube, and then use the toy can make a world of difference. So maybe you used it once and you're like, oh, it was too much or it didn't feel great. Add some lube or use it over your clothing at first to kind of get yourself aroused, feel the sensations, and get yourself turned on. A little foreplay with yourself. Try the vibration patterns that come with the toys. They make those patterns for a reason. I think we all get set in our ways. We all do around here. We talked about it, and we said, do you guys ever mix up the settings? And I feel like I kind of forget to do that sometimes, but when I do it, I'm like, oh, I didn't know that this pattern can feel great as well. Like, you're getting a vibrator and it looks like it does one thing, but really, you'd be so surprised to find out that playing with the 10 different vibration speeds and playing with the different patterns can kind of like every time it's like a new vibrator. So play with a pattern you haven't tried. If you've been intimidated by the highest power setting, you know, go there. Does it have an attachment? Use the attachment. Be open to all the things that your vibrator has to offer, because who knows what you're going to find. A whole new way to play. Also, you guys, you can change positions. I like this too because I forget to do this. Laying on top of your vibrator for hands-free front is definitely a position that deserves more love. So whether you're on your belly or sitting upright, grinding against your vibe rather than holding it directly on you is a whole new level of friction, and it just feels different. You can easily incorporate this into partner sex. You can lay it underneath you. You can use it for oral sex. You guys, I love using a vibe for oral sex. It feels amazing. None of my partners have ever complained when I like use it at a low setting on their shaft or their balls or outside of my mouth. So your mouth, if you put it on your cheek when you're performing oral on a man or a woman, it feels amazing. So changing positions, just having it by the bed, charged and ready to go, is some of the best advice I can tell you. Is that it shouldn't be like an afterthought. If it's always there, like your lube and your condoms and your vibe, then you're ready to go and you can have a lot of fun with these toys. As always, I'm open for all of your sex toy questions. You can just email me. Okay, we're going to give a shout out to our sponsors and then we're on to your emails. I'll be right back. There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread. So here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's the kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co. Okay, guys. I love answering your questions. I love it, love it, love it. Please email me your questions. If you want one answered on the show, you can text Ask Emily, all one word, to 797979. Fill out the short form or go to my website, sexwithemily.com. Click the Ask Emily tab. And as always, include your name, your age, where you live, and how you listen to the show. This is from Danny, 35, in Annapolis. Hi, Emily. I'm seeing a new guy, an artist. We are having some problems with sex, and I feel like I'm being blamed a bit. He can get hard, but it takes a lot of coaxing, oral sex, rubbing. Is it normal to have to actually try to give a guy a boner? Sometimes it'll be almost hard, and then even with coaxing, it'll shrink back. Then he gets frustrated because I let go and I focus on kissing or cuddling or something else, and he says if I just keep going, he'll get hard again. He tells me all the time how sexy I am. He touches me a lot. Basically, I know he's attracted to me. I think you see where I'm going. This is probably ED, erectile dysfunction, and not me at all. The issue is twofold. Number one, how do I tell him to maybe go see a doctor without ruining his fragile artist ego? Number two, how do I tell him that he's kind of blaming me and that's essentially bullshit? Thank you, girl. Your podcast is lovely. Okay, Danny, thank you for this very detailed question. I love all the information here. And I know it's weird. You're like, is it normal to have to actually try to give a guy a boner? In most cases, I get it. Guys pretty much, they get hard, they stay hard. But there are times where there might be a little erectile challenges as you are experiencing. What I don't love here is that he's getting frustrated with you. And he's not like, because I understand that you're like, dude, I'm here. I'm helping you get hard. Now I'd like some kissing. I want some touching. And he's getting frustrated. So that like makes me realize that there is a lot of anger around it. And there's probably something that he's dealt with in the past. And so I do think that when you're in a neutral setting, you guys, you know, not to do it in the bedroom. You definitely don't want to talk about his penis in the bedroom, especially in this scenario. The only time you want to talk about sex is if you're in pain in the moment. In bedroom, or maybe there's like a new position you want to try together and you got to move it around and something hurts, you want to speak up. But most of these kind of things, especially this, outside the bedroom. So you can let him know that you really, you know, want to turn him on and you want him to feel amazing. And it seems like he's getting frustrated. Say, you know, it seems like he gets frustrated where I'm trying to get too hard. It's not happening. I'm wondering if you should go see a doctor. Once a year, women have to get a pap smear. We go to the gynecologist's office. We put our legs up in these cold clamps and men, like, literally barely ever go to doctors and talk about their penises unless there's a problem. And then we got to like coax them into it. But the truth is, I think that I'm super healthy for him to go talk to his doctor. Because I don't, if you're 35, maybe he's about your age. Who knows? I don't know if he's taking drugs or he's drinking a lot or maybe there is something going on. So I think he definitely has to talk to his doctor. And it's okay for you to let him know that you care about him and you want him to have the best sex possible. I would also say mutual masturbation is a huge tool that can be used for so many great reasons in a relationship. Because number one, you know, when you're both masturbating next to each other, you're kind of looking at your partner and you're seeing what they do to turn them on. So it might be helpful for you to actually see how he touches himself and does he stay hard during masturbation. That's really key. Because if there's nothing going on during masturbation, it's fine. There could be something going on. I mean, a lot of times erectile challenges do have to are in the mind. It has to do with anxiety. Maybe it happened to him in the past and he's worried it's going to happen again. So there are some steps. That's a whole other conversation about how we deal with that. We've got a lot of information on the site and I've talked about it on the show. But I think that would help you because number one, you're going to be learning something and it can be really hot and he can see how you're touching yourself. Because my other concern in reading this, Danny, is are you getting your needs met? I know he's telling you that you're sexy, but it sounds like he's being a good boyfriend, but I want to make sure that you're getting yours too. So perhaps him watching what you're doing, that'll turn him on. He'll know how to touch you. And then also you'll both be having orgasms. And Danny, it's totally okay to let him know that he's not making you feel great because it seems like you are really trying to help him here. So you can let him know that it's frustrating and he's not making you feel really good by getting frustrated with you in the moment. It's okay to let him know how he makes you feel without blaming, without shaming, without starting the sentence with the "you always do this," but just saying, "babe, I care about you, but when we're having sex, it makes me feel like I'm not pleasing you. And this is not a comfortable situation for me to be in. So let's get to the bottom of this so we can continue having amazing sex." Okay, Danny, let me know how it goes. Okay, this is from Andrew. He's 30 in Illinois. "Hello, Emily. I love your podcast. It's such a good resource/source of information. I've been married for over 2 years now, and I absolutely love my wife. We have so much fun together. My issue is that I love being naked. I'm very much into CFNM, that is clothed female, nude male, and just love to show off what I have. My wife is okay with my love of nudity, and she knows about my CFNM fantasies. This past weekend, we had a party, and as it got late into the night, it was just my wife and a new younger friend of ours. She's 23, we're 30, and another guy friend of mine. We were playing drinking games, and one of the rules was take an article of clothing off if you curse. I eventually ended up naked. It was such an amazing experience for me, being naked in front of a woman, not my wife, that I'm super attracted to. I loved it. Number one, how do I communicate just how much this experience turned me on without making my wife feel self-conscious? Number two, how can I communicate that I want to be naked and seen by other women? And number three, I'd love to be naked in front of our friend again or any other of the female friends we have, even if it's a party-like atmosphere like the other night. However, I want to be respectful to everyone and not offend anyone. I'm not into flashing, just consensual nudity. Thanks for your help." Okay, Andrew, thank you again for your detailed question, you guys. You guys are doing really well with your questions. I appreciate all these specific examples. So let me address these one by one. How do you communicate how the experience turned me on without making yourself conscious? Well, I think she knows that it did turn you on. So you could just let her know that that was really fun the other night. And I would say how you can express it is you can ask her how it made her feel. I think we got to start with, how did you feel about it, babe? Because that's kind of a big thing, right? Like, she allowed you to be naked and walking around with a guy friend and a new younger friend. So I want you to listen carefully to her answer and not make this all about you, because that's going to dictate how we move forward. The next thing from that is you want to ask her if she has any fantasies that she'd like to try, right? So you're getting your fantasies met here, but we have to remember that it can't be about you. So ask her, like, "I'm so appreciative. I really loved it. That was so much fun. What are your fantasies?" Now, I hope that she's got something to answer. Maybe she wants it for threesome or wants to watch porn with you or wants to, you know, use a sex toy. So, you know, have her ask her those questions until you really want to please her as much as you got satisfaction out of the other night. And then you can let her know how much it was a turn on for you and reinforcing how you feel about her. So you can say, "That was really sexy. I loved having you there," and ask her how she felt, because you're feeling great right now, but we have to know how let it, you know, see how it sinks in, because sometimes it can take a few days or a few weeks to let people know how it feels. So your second question is, how do I communicate that I want to be naked and seen by other women? I think it's the same. When you tell her how great it feels, you could tell her that you'd like to do it again. But we just have to make sure that she feels good about this. Now, your third question, this is where you kind of made me go, wait a minute. I'm not sure it's a great idea for you to continue to be naked in front of all the friends, and especially this friend again, because not everybody's going to be as cool as your wife and comfortable with it, and this friend. So I just think unless you guys are really open and really close and you guys can all have a really, open conversation about it with the friend, like over lunch, then maybe you could bring her in again. But my hunch is that if you guys become that home, people do talk that you have, even if you say you don't care about it, you might have kids one day and the neighbors and they're like, oh my God, he's always getting naked when you come over to the house. I think you can still get your needs met if the two of you look into play parties or swinger clubs in your area, because not everyone's going to be cool with you being naked, and especially friends. Now, I'm super comfortable around sex. I go to parties where we're naked in the hot tub and whether I've seen them naked or not, and it's not a big deal. I also live in California. However, I am from the Midwest, and I remember moving to California 25 years ago, and that when everyone was naked in the hot tub, it kind of did freak me out. I was like, we don't do this in Michigan. So I just know, Andrew, being in Illinois, it's a different world. So again, I would suggest that you kind of go on FetLife, talk to someone. You're in Illinois, there's like sex toy stores. You can go in and ask them, like, do they know about play parties or other places you can go where you can, number one, still get your fantasies met walking around naked in front of other people who are naked, but also make sure that it's in a safe, contained environment where you and your wife are respecting each other and each other's boundaries. So thank you, Andrew. Our next email is from Jason, 30, in Missouri. I have some questions about butt plugs. I'm wondering how long it's safe to leave a butt plug in for, and would there be any differences between a silicone one and a metal one? Also, any advice or words of wisdom when it comes to the idea of wearing one through security at an airport? Seemed exciting at the time, and the reason I brought a silicone one, the theory being it would not be picked up by a metal detector or body scanner, but I chickened out at the last minute. Speaking of that, would it show up on a body scan machine? Thanks, and hopeful for some answers. Keep up the show. I love it when I'm able to listen. Okay, Jason. So, butt plugs. Okay, you should really leave it a butt plug in for no longer than like 2 to 3 hours tops. It can stretch out the rectal area, and just like, you shouldn't leave anything inserted in your butt. I'm hard-pressed to think about anything you should leave inserted, even a tampon, for too long. So you want to remove things from your body. As far as a difference between, there's a silicone or a metal one, no matter what you choose, you don't want to leave in for much longer than 2 to 3 hours. Okay, as far as going through security, I get the thrill of it, but it's not necessary. It can definitely be picked up on security, but why, I think it can be. We're not 100%. They're definitely more lax in certain airports, but why risk it? I'm cool with you bringing it on the airplane, probably not the metal one. You might have to explain that if it pulled out of your bag, but bring a silicone, and then the second you board, I'm totally fine with you wearing that throughout the flight, but I don't think you need to risk it through security, especially these days. Okay, but I like the question. And Jason, if you do get away with it, let me know. Okay, this is from Cody, another email from Missouri, 28 in Missouri. Hello, my wife and I have been together since high school, married a few years ago. I've listened to the show for a long time. Thank you, Cody, for listening, and have suggested many things to keep our sex life spicy and the variety there. I have a higher sex drive than she does, and she's pretty mellow. She uses toys on me. I use toys on her. We change it up. However, recently she's been really lethargic, not taking initiative, or horny. One night on Tumblr, I came across the idea of cuckolding, chastity, and whatnot. Really like the idea, mainly because it makes her take a role in everything, especially the initiative aspect. My wife is into it and likes the ideas. Got a chastity cage, started the ideas of cross-dressing, humiliation, edging, talking to other men, etc. We've talked extensively about how to go about this. When she takes the reins, she's either super duper cheesy or chooses nothing because she feels awkward, which is extremely frustrating to me. How do I ever get her comfortable enough to participate and do the things you talked about? Thanks. Okay, Cody, let's back up for a minute. First of all, thank you for listening to the show. I love that it's helped you and that you guys have always been trying to spice things up and keep things sexy. So you've been together since high school. So we're talking 10 years, which I also love because you're right. You got to keep working on it. And this, to say that she's a higher sex drive than you, perhaps since you said right now she's being a little more lethargic. Who knows what it could be? She could be tired. It could be stress. So I think that's okay. It's nothing to trip up on. Like, as you've heard me say on the show, if you've listened, Cody, it just can change at different times in your life. There might be a time when you don't want as much sex, believe it or not. So I'm just telling you again and reinforcing to all the listeners that this is normal. So let's get into your cuckolding. Let me explain that to what that is if you guys don't know. Cuckolding is a fantasy or a fetish that men have about their partners watching their, a lot of times it started with like their wives, watching their wives or their committed partners have sex with another man while they watch. And it can be a huge turn on for men and for women. If you're like, what? Oh, man, I know there's a lot of guys going, hell no, I never want to see another man. No, right, because not every fantasy or fetish is for every guy. But the premise of this is that there's just guys who, something about the, actually, they get off and actually seeing their partner have pleasure. Like that actually is a turn on for them. And then there's a little bit of a shame aspect. Like some guys talk about how this shame around it, or maybe like seeing them with another man, that that can kind of be reversed in their brain and they can turn it into, they can eroticize it. So that's kind of like the what we're talking about when it comes to cuckolding, which is really kind of an extremer kind of thing to play with a partner. So Cody, let me say, in reading this, I was like, whoa, good. I want to give a high five to your wife for being so cool with this. Okay. So there's a lot of women. So you've gotten really far in the cuckolding fantasy life here, farther along than most people. So you're getting like all the chips are on your side here, Cody. So I want you just to take a deep breath and to relax around this and give her a break with this, because you can't expect her to be an expert at it. It's new to both of you. So what she needs is probably a little bit more information. I mean, honestly, I teach cuckolding and fantasies, and if I had to do it for the first time, I might be cheesy and awkward as well. Because anytime you try something new, especially like sex mixed with a little acting, a little role playing, like that's like your brain's going, wait, what? Like another thing I got to use words? So remember, it's not easy for everyone and it can be frustrating for her too. So walk her through it before sex happens. You guys could watch some porn, read erotica, find some books that kind of depict cuckolding fantasies. Find what really turns you on. It sounds like your wife is really cool with you taking the lead, but she just needs more examples of what it means. So you might have watched one thing together, but this just takes a little bit more work. And maybe you guys want to practice going through it without it all being lined up. Like when your penis isn't locked up in the cage, you guys, that's what a chastity cage is. It's a little cage for your penis. So maybe without all the props, you guys can just kind of do some role playing. Like maybe when you're on a, like make fun of it. Because sex doesn't have to be so serious. So this could be like when you're on a road trip, when you're taking a hike, when you're eating breakfast, I don't know, talk about it. Be like, this is the scenario I found, and she can practice. So when you're actually ready to go, she'll be more inspired and she'll be able to figure out like what you need and kind of figure out what feels comfortable to her. But in no way do I want you to berate her or make her feel bad about this. I'm glad you're emailing me about it so you can go back to her and say, I love that you're doing this. Let's figure out some ways to make it run smoothly for both of us. Okay, Cody? All right. We have Annie, 25, Sydney, Australia. Hey, Emily, I was dating a guy 11 years older than me, and I want to know if I could have handled the situation differently. We were dating almost a year and also said he liked me, but he could not commit. He was way too concerned about age difference because of how his ex acted. His ex was my age. And he also says that I'm way more mature than he is. It drove me up a wall, and I'm not an expressive person with saying how I feel, so I just accepted the words. But it frustrated me that he used his last relationship to put a block up to our situation. It's been almost a year since we dated, but I keep thinking about I let him go too easy. I still feel the same way about him. How can I approach him now after a year to try again, or should I even bother? Okay, Annie, I'm really glad that you emailed this question because I think that a lot of times people will say things and use words in relationship that we just carry on. We're like, God, this partner said I wasn't a great lover, or they didn't like my boobs, or they didn't like my family, or they didn't. And we really take that as a truth. But so many times people say have zero to do with us, like literally zero. And I'm concerned, like I think that he might have just been using that as a tool to not have to get close to you, saying that his ex, yeah, you're just like his ex and he can't move past it, could have just been a reason for him not to have to get as close to you. It could have been a reason he's using not to have to commit to you. So I'm sure that you really are mature, and but I don't think that you need to go back to this guy. I think you kind of have a little bit of a euphoric recall, which is what we do after a relationship ends. We put him on this pedestal. We just remember all the great things that happened. So I'm going to say no. Do not bother to contact him. Move on. I don't love that he said these things to you. I don't think he was doing it in a harmful place. It made sense to him. In context, he might have thought, well, this is a reason why I can keep this woman at bay because she reminds me of my ex. But I guarantee you that this guy, there's a lot of things going on. So the sooner that you can let go of this, unfollow him on social media, and replace any thoughts that you have of this guy with, remember my words here, okay, Annie? When you keep thinking about him, he doesn't deserve any more of your time or your thoughts. So especially at 25, you don't need to go dipping back into that ex pool. Move forward. So when you hear yourself going, oh, I wonder if I should call him, go, nope, I'm going to replace this with three positive things that I can do moving towards dating someone new. Maybe it's setting up for a dating site. Maybe it's letting your friends know that you're single. Maybe it's saying yes to a party that you wouldn't normally go to. Put yourself out there to meet new people. It sounds like you haven't met anyone else to replace this guy, so he keeps coming up in your thoughts, but I'm telling you, he's not the right guy for you, Annie. Garrett, 26, Dallas, Texas. Hey, Emily, I listened to your podcast about your first sex party with Captain Erotica the other day, and I loved it. Ever since, I found myself dreaming about attending one of these. I've been very shy in the past, but over the last couple of years, have really come out of my shell and enjoyed meeting new people. I would love to get more information on how to attend one of these. You help so many listeners with the things people are not always comfortable talking about. Keep up the good work. Thank you, Garrett, and thank you for listening, and I love it, you guys. So back in June, I posted a throwback episode with Captain Erotica, and it's probably 10 years old or 9 years old, and God, I love that episode too, Garrett, and I'm glad that you brought this up because it was my first sex party. I'd never been to a sex party or play party, and we talked about my first experience. So if you guys want to go back and listen to that episode, I think you will enjoy it. So as for you, Garrett, in Texas, here's where a lot of places that you guys can go in the States and possibly internationally is the first website I'd recommend for these parties is FetLife, F-E-T Life. There's also Cassidy, Cassidie.com. And there's even Facebook private groups if you search for like BDSM or kink or swingers. I think you really just, and you're in Dallas, which is a big city, like I'll bet there are people that you know, or maybe it's a friend of a friend or your cousin's ex-boss or something. There's got to be somebody that you've heard of that probably is in this world. And if you know anyone who's into kinky stuff or BDSM, you could probably approach them or find somebody who could kind of find you a link to, they call them play parties now. And so typically with these parties, it has to be a couple with a single woman or a bunch of single women, but typically they don't let single guys go to these parties. But again, it might have changed. There's different groups for everything. But I would say for Dallas, check out FetLife or Cassidy, see where that gets you. And if there's a cool sex toy store, which I'm sure there is in Dallas, a lot of times they have, like you can go to their website and see if they have any meetup groups or they teach classes. Those would definitely be like-minded people in your community that can help you find out how to find fun people to play with in Texas. And I'd love to hear about sex parties in Texas, Garrett. So you need to go and report back. So thank you for emailing. And thank you, everybody, for listening to the show. Check out our survey. It just takes a few minutes. And we'd love to hear from you. Thank you so much to my amazing team, Ken, Sarah, producer Jamie, and Michael. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.